Good Tevin. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, as has been said, happy Resurrection Sunday.
Yes.
The Lord has risen. Scott said, would you say happy what? Happy risen? Happy rise? You said,
yeah.
You said different. Huh?
Yeah.
Amen. Scott like, yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. It's great to have everybody here this morning. Definitely encouraged by all the people that are visiting with us this morning. I hope that our service so far has encouraged you and impacted you to be here. I'm going to take my hat off, but I love my hat on Resurrection Day. Jesus is my boss. I love that. You know, we love to promote a lot of things, but I'm very bold about it. Like, hey, this is my boss. This is the one who's running the show. So, but amen. It's good to be here. On this morning to worship our God and to worship our Lord, his son, and just how they've done so much. You can turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. I do appreciate the welcome message by Gloria, and also the contribution message by Parker. Cramming, huh? We're cramming for the exams. Yeah, I better be on top of that. When you said that, I thought about the in the Bible, the 10 virgins. Yeah, I was like, you know, some cram for the exam and didn't make it, but I liked it. I got that. That was very encouraging. I love the communion message Scott and Julia did and everything. So, reminded of the power of Jesus. You know, in the month of April here, we are going to be focusing on the cross. Our series for the year has been called Building. And we all are building something in our life. We're building on something or we're building with something. And so this month we're going to focus on building on the cross. And the cross is such a powerful tool. As we know, it plays a part in the resurrection of our Lord. You know, Jesus had to go to the cross in order to really just save us, but also to be an example for us of how we're going to be able to deal with obstacles, with our behavior that can be wicked or evil at times, but basically just deal with our sins. God said, you know, you want to know how to deal with the wrong things that pop in your mind and your heart, or you did something wrong, or you doing wrong. The cross is the way to go. And so, and once you deal with it through the cross, you can taste resurrection.
Amen.
That's it. That cross is that bridge. You know, it's great to be alive today and to be able to celebrate the rise of our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Yeah.
There are many victories that have been celebrated in life because of our Lord's resurrection. Many lives have been changed and a lot more are being won over because of Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the grave. Those who die in Christ taste victory. They taste victory in many ways. When they die in the flesh and rise in the spirit to take hold of a new life. Do you desire to live a new life?
Amen.
That's the question. Do you desire to be resurrected?
Yes. Come on.
And it's not only just waiting until this body is no longer functional here on earth, but being resurrected now. Truly, a lot of people walk around now and they're just dead inside.
Yeah, come on.
Falling apart inside. You know, they're just, life are just in shambles and a mess. And if you're anything like me, you just want it to go away.
That's right, yeah.
If you've been anything like me, I don't want to deal with it. Can somebody just take this and handle this for me? But God said, no, that's your mess. You're going to have to deal with it.
Yep.
Even if God put somebody else in your life, God says you've got to play your part in it and helping to clean this up. That's the hard part. That's the part we don't like. But you know, do you desire to live a new life? Are you willing to die to self so that a new you can rise up?
Right.
That's the only way a new you can be resurrected. You've got to die to that old person. You know who that old person is? That old person think all kind of crazy thoughts. Even you have to say about yourself, I'm just crazy. But you know, are you willing to die to self? You know, one of the most important ways of becoming someone new, a new creation in God, is learning to love people and letting people love you.
Amen. Yes.
You know, some of us, we are great givers. We want to love everybody, but we have a hard time letting people love us.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we are. No, I got it. I got it. I'm good. You over there drowning. Just drowning. You are that commercial before that commercial came out where the guy sitting up under the weight bar. Man, you need help? No. I don't need no help. No. Now, I like what they say, man, it's not afraid to ask for help. But some of us, I'd be like, well, okay, then, just watch you die, whatever, But a lot of times we self-inflict pain on ourselves. As somebody, as I learned about sin, one of the acronyms they deal with sin is called, sin is classified as self-inflicted nonsense.
Yeah.
And a lot of us don't like nonsense. Some of us we may not understand what nonsense is, but as you get older, you realize, I just don't have time for this nonsense. Amen. We've got to learn to love people, but we also got to let people love us. Yes. That love will help to transform you into a new creation. That love will help you on your path to living a resurrected life.
Right, yes.
That love will also show the world and disciples that you are growing and changing. Where the world will see growth, the body of Christ will see maturity in you. John chapter 13:35, I love this. Jesus is always educating his followers. He's trying to help them to understand what it means to be a disciple in the body, what it means to live a new life that is resurrected, what it means to live a life that is building on the cross. And in John chapter 13, verse 34, one of the things that we practice is discipling. It's just a part of who we are. And we're learning to be better at it and be more effective at it. And so here, this scripture clearly points about one of the ways of having a great discipling relationship. And he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone would know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I love Jesus. He's just stressing the point. He says, you need to love one another. You need to love one another. If you love one another, people will know that you belong to me. So you need to love one another. He's like, one another means like, it's just not me loving you, but it goes both ways. He says, we need to love each other.
Right.
He says, this is how the world would know that you belong to me, that you are truly living a resurrected life, if you are loving each other. It should not be one way. I just love you, but I don't want your love. No. That's not how it works in the kingdom of God.
Right.
Building on the cross, but no, you need to let me love you, and I need you to love me. One of the things we did on Wednesday night when we shared about understand what discipling is about we had to get some things clear with one another. And I love this. And then, I say, and we're going to practice this right now. So I want you to look to the person next, tell you, whoever's next, tell you, and I want you to tell them, you're not the boss of me.
You're not the boss of me.
Amen. That's right. Amen. I want you to look again to the person next to them and tell them, I don't want to be the boss of you. That's right. I got enough problems of my own. Too much weight of my own. You see, loving one another is not about me trying to control you.
No, sir.
Or boss you around or micromanage you. Me loving you is about me having a concern for you.
That's right.
How's your walk going with Jesus? Is it a good day to walk with Jesus?
Yes, sir.
Or is this a bad day? Do you feel like Jesus ain't doing enough today? Or do you feel like Jesus is doing more than you can even imagine? We feel like that sometimes. Like, God, where are you? It's a tough day. But God's like, I'm there. And God's like, I work through other disciples who I have also compelled and convicted to look like my son. This week we scheduled some, for the month of April, we're practicing disciple time. So the Dockeries got with the Rankins. It was a great time. We got with them yesterday, hung out. And one of the things about living a resurrected life is about being vulnerable, sharing what's going on. And I was sharing with Todd and Alicia about, with my daughter. And I said, I was around my daughter. I had to tell my daughter, I am so scared of losing you.
Oh.
I am just scared. For some reason, that made my daughter happy to hear me say that. I don't know why that made her happy to hear me say that.
No.
For a lot of you don't know that my daughter is, her kidneys don't function no more. So we're working on this kidney transplant list. So I go to all these appointments. And so I told her this, and we're driving in the car, and we're like, and she reached out and touched my hand. Oh, Daddy, that's just so sweet. I needed to hear that. That side of me was like, you know, man, this is not what I'm looking for. I'm just trying to be open with you, trying to be vulnerable. We don't need to go mushy now. I'm driving here, you know. But I told Kendall, I said, I just had a moment the other day, like, you know, this is hard. I'm scared of, you're my only girl. I'm scared of losing, you know. And of course, my daughter, we call her the counselor of the family. And so she said, well, there, you know, there are things that you can do to work this out. I said, yeah, I want to fight somebody. I want to fight somebody. She says, no, no, no. I said, well, hold on now. Whose moment is this? Is this my moment or your moment? Wait a minute now. You handle it your way. I want to handle it my way. I'm thinking like some type of WWE type of thing. Let's get in the ring, man. She's like, see, Dad, you're going too far. Why don't you get a bag and punch it? I'm like, but the bag won't hit back. How can you work out rage and anger if the bag won't hit back? I said, no, I want to fight somebody. So, but it was great to share that with Todd and Delicia yesterday and hear them just connect and get with that. And hear Delicia and Todd just share about Delicia's sister, you know, who's on the same thing that my daughter's on, that dialysis, and how her sister's going through that, you know, and just this moment, like, they get me about moments of just breaking down, like, wow. Say, this hurts, man. This hurts. But, you know, I could have not been open like that in our discipling time if I would not build my relationship on the cross.
Wow.
I could have not had that moment if the cross had not shown me how to live a new life. Because if I'd have been old sitting there, I'd have been closed off, not talked about it. Oh, well, walk around. I'm good. I'm good. Proud with the head pitched up. No, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm good. You know how the head pitch up, so you're like, Lord, like you'll get a crick in your neck, you keep doing that. But when you build on the cross, God shows you how to be vulnerable.
Yes.
God puts you in a circle of people. God said, you can trust them. You can be open with them.
Amen.
You can tell them without, they will take care of you. They will not harm you. They will love you. And that was just so cool yesterday to be able to be open. How are you loving one another? Who's in your circle? Do you have somebody you can just like, hey, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm feeling.
Amen.
This is what scares me. I can't control it. I have to trust God. Do you have somebody you can talk to like that? You know, we want Jesus to say, Jesus, where are you? But Jesus is in the lives of all the believers who said that Jesus was Lord.
Amen.
Who said that Jesus is their boss. And because of that, and because of that moment I had yesterday, I got a chance to taste just a little bit of being resurrected in a new life. Being vulnerable. You know, to appreciate the resurrection and experience it, you're going to have to be vulnerable with your life. Loving people is about being open about you. Loving people is about letting people help you.
Yeah.
A lot of time, the only help they can give you is sometimes a prayer, sometimes a hug, sometimes a fist pump, and sometimes, brother, sister, I love you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But you take it however God gives it to you.
Yes.
Yep. Build on that. Build on that. Build on that. We're going to turn to John chapter 14. You know, vulnerability leads to Jesus. Jesus is the way to God. God is the author of life, and that includes a resurrected life.
That's right. Amen.
Will you get open and be vulnerable?
Yes.
You know, John chapter 14, you know, we're going to talk about the right bridge. There are so many bridges in life. Bridges are built for a purpose. They are designed to meet a need. Physical bridges help to connect communities, countries, states, counties. They create other ways for people to get from one point to another. They have been some famous bridges built right here in the USA.
Yep.
One of those bridges happened to be the Golden Gate Bridge, the iconic bridge that opened in the year 1937. Connects the Golden State Strait with the Pacific Ocean. The orange-colored bridge, built after about 10 years of planning and 4 years of actual construction, is not only a shining example of architectural excellence. I can't even say the word excellence. English is gone. You know what I mean? In the city, by the bay, but is also responsible for bringing the two communities of San Francisco and Marion counties together. The frequency with which the bridge appears in Hollywood flicks could be a measure of the structure's popularity. Also, there is the Brooklyn Bridge. The Brooklyn Bridge changed the fate of New York City by proving a great connection between a massive population of Brooklyn and Manhattan. The bridge, which became a cultural sensation right after its completion, is among the top tourist attractions in the city. Besides being an extremely busy thoroughfare, allowing for 150,000 vehicles to pass across it daily. That's a lot of traffic I don't want to be in.
Yes, right.
Daily. You know, if you get stuck on a major highway, it's a different thing. You can get a walk on some land. But if you're on a bridge, you're just there. You're just there. That is something else. You know, God created a bridge that is built with the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
And that bridge is called Jesus. John 14:6 says, and give you in mind here, Jesus is comforting the disciples because Jesus is about to leave. He's about to depart the earth. He's getting to his final point of his mission that God sent him. And so he gets here and he says in verse 6 of John chapter 14, he says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, if you really know me, you would know my Father as well. Yep. For now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now let's get some context to this. You know, first part is, what bridges are you building your life on? You know, we got a lot of dreams. We're building in a lot of directions. But is Jesus the bridge that you're building on?
Come on.
You know, the world's bridge is built out of lies, deception, deceit, sexual immorality, selfish ambition, divisiveness, and everything that is against God. People like to think that there are many ways to get to the Father, but Jesus makes it clear that he is the only way.
The only way.
That's it. He is the only way. You know, and whoever crosses that bridge, that is Jesus, will experience the resurrection as God intended. Nobody wants to be resurrected and find out that they are in the wrong place. How will you build your life going forward? You know, building on the right bridge is about having the right focus. That's it. Having the right values. Having the right standards. I watch a lot of documentaries. I watch the Smithsonian Channel. And so they're doing this documentary now in fall. It's called The Mighty Cruise Ships. And there are some enormous cruise ships. You know, I'm used to like everybody going to the Caribbean. They got cruise ships that go to, is it Antarctica down south?
Yeah.
And it has ice busters. And I mean, they just don't go, they go to the Antarctica and they get you off on there. And I'm like, this is amazing. And they this ship has a thing in the middle, and they show them busting ice up on a cruise ship. I'm like, wow. I didn't imagine. They have another ship that goes in Spain. It is a big ship. It might as well be big as Jackson. I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life. This ship is huge. It has a go-kart track that runs across the top of it.
Wow.
And I'm looking like, what? Has a zip line that runs from one end of the ship to another. Has an open shopping mall. I'm like, this is a huge ship. And I'm thinking like, who wants to leave the ship? For what? I don't need to go off the ship. Everything's right here. Yeah. They have a team that does all this fancy skydiving and flipping into the water while the ship is cruising on the ocean. I'm like, you know, America builds so many great, nice things. And it has so many great attractions. And not only America, I'm talking about the world. There's so many things that are attraction. And we can be like, man, I want my life to be right there.
Yeah.
I want to be on that cruise ship. I want my life to be on this cruise ship. I watched one early this morning talking about a cruise ship over in Japan. I'm like, what? And it sails the seas outside of Japan. I'm like, this is crazy. And a lot of those things can seem just so enticing. Like, wow, I want to build my life is going to be here. This is life. This is what life is. I love this. But Jesus says, in order to taste resurrection, you've got to build your life on the right foundation.
Yes.
There are so many things out there to attract you. I was sharing with my wife this morning. I said, you know what? I think about the scripture over in Matthew 4, where Jesus is out in the desert and he's tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Satan says, I'll give you all this if you follow me. I'll give you all this if you worship me. He says this. And I'm thinking, I'm like, that is very relevant today.
Yeah.
Because there are so many things out there that the Satan say, hey, it's not too late. So what's your 50? So what's your 55? There's cruise ship. There's a place for you on that cruise ship. I give you all that. You can live on that cruise ship forever. And there are people who live on cruise ships.
That's right.
Yep. They literally live. They do not live. You think, hear me? For most of you don't know me, I talk about living in an RV. There are people who live on a cruise ship. They live on a cruise ship their whole life. But in the end, what do they gain? What did they gain? Who knows? But what I can tell you, the best bridge that you can build, which is the right bridge, is Jesus Christ.
Yes. That's
right. For he is the only way. He is the only truth and the only life that leads to God. People will want you to think that there are many different ways that you can get to God, but you can't.
No, sir.
You can't. People want you to believe, oh, you can do this and go this way. You cannot do it. Jesus is the only way.
Yes.
Do you want to build your life on Jesus, or do you want to build your life on the world? Whose standards and value means most to you? The standards of God or the standards of the world?
Right.
Would you build your life on the cross? You know, whoever crosses that bridge, as I said before, will experience the resurrection as God intended. Nobody wants to be resurrected and find out that you are in the wrong place. And the only way that you end up in the wrong place is because you built your life on the wrong bridge.
Yep.
Going forward, how will you build your life? Turn me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to end right here, guys. So we're going to talk about the power of the cross. Some great songs tomorrow, a great communion song. Power is great. I was watching a piece of The Chosen on YouTube, and I love it. And if you're into your Bible, we live in a generation and a time where God has allowed us to allow people to just take the Bible and bring it to life for us.
Yeah.
So we can have a great visual. And so for me, when I see stuff, of course, my mind is always flipping through scripture like, let me see if that's right. But they did one on the woman who bled for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And I watched that thing, I looked at that thing.
Yeah.
And I was reminded, and that's the weird thing about scripture, when you're building on God, when you're building on the cross, I was reminded of something they said in that scripture. I said, that is so true. It also, what she said, it reminded me of the centurion and the centurion's encounter with Jesus. And of course, when the woman gets in there and she touches the Jesus hem of his garment, and of course now she's afraid to reveal herself because she knows she shouldn't be there because of that culture and that time. But I love what Jesus said, and it brought me back to, I've got to do my part.
Yeah.
I've got to do my part.
Right.
He says, woman, don't be afraid. He says, your faith has healed you. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that goes with faith. Before he said that to her, when she touched him, he said, stop, someone's touched me. I felt power leave from me.
That's right.
I said, you know what? The power of God and my faith can do amazing things.
Yes.
There are two key things out of that when he said that. He says, I felt power leave me. But what I got from that to extract that power is that all those people were touching Jesus. Even the disciples, all these people are touching you. But none of them had the faith that that young lady had.
Right.
So they could not extract the power that was needed to change their life.
Amen.
a lot of them was what you would call would be worldly at that moment and at that time. And when you're worldly, you are a non-believer.
That's right.
You may see Christ. You may walk with Christ. You may come to church. You may sit in warmer seat, but it does not mean that you are fully invested.
That's right. That's
in
right.
God and the power that comes through Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me get there. You know, every person at some point in time has craved power. We can be assured of that. Power makes you feel in charge, on top of the world. It makes you feel in control. It gives you a sense of authority. That's what power does. Power makes you feel like you are somebody. But I'm here to tell you that human power is limited. It just is. Human power, it comes and it goes. And if you think I'm kidding, keep on living. If God blesses you to get old, you'll realize, whoo, these bones get a little old. I ain't young as I used to be. Your mind may tell you one thing, but your body will humble you quickly. This I know. In verse 18, Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent, I will frustrate." There is power in the cross. And you and I can access this power if we go before the cross in faith. You can stand before that cross all day long and get no results.
Right.
But if you go with the faith and know that that cross has power because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died on it and gave it the power that it needs to transform our lives, oh man, you can live a resurrected life.
Amen.
You can live a resurrected life. How's your faith this morning? Where's your faith been at this week? Do you desire to seek greater faith within yourself? Are you willing to allow God to tap into your heart, your mind, and your soul so that your faith may increase? So your faith may grow, so that your faith can connect with the power that is in the cross.
Come on, Sydney. Come on.
And change your life and resurrect you. You know, the cross is only foolishness to those who don't know God.
That's right.
Who don't know Jesus. Who don't understand the way, the truth, and the life. But to those of us who are eagerly, with every fiber in our bone, in our being, are going after God, we get that power. We understand that power. We understand the meaning of the cross. We understand that there is no other way to being resurrected and being in heaven with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit than going through the cross.
Yeah.
Are you willing to pick up a cross and carry your cross?
Sir.
Are you willing to carry it for life?
Yes. Yes, sir.
The cross is a beautiful thing. You see, resurrection begins with carrying the cross.
Yep.
That's where it begins at.
That's right.
That's where resurrection, believe it or not, for Jesus started. When he finished his earthly mission and he got on that cross, man, he was on his way to being resurrected. Because he was dealing with the sin, the evil, the wickedness, the wrong behavior that goes against God in his life. That's what he was doing. Do you want to carry a cross?
Yes.
Do you want to taste the power that the world doesn't know about?
Yes, sir.
As I said earlier about the woman who bled for 12 years and reminded me of the centurion, of course, the centurion had a servant who was sick. And Jesus said, "Where is he?" And the centurion said, "What? You don't need to come. You just say the word, and my servant will be healed." And I'm reminded when Jesus says, he is not seen such faith even among the people that he was walking with. You see, our faith can tap into that power. I can.
Yes.
Our faith can tap into that power.
That's right.
You just have to have the faith of the centurion soldier, the faith of the woman who bled for 12 years. You have to believe that if I tap into that power, I will be resurrected.
Amen.
Amen.
I would then know the way, the truth, and the life, and I will be able to cross the right bridge, and that bridge just happens to be Jesus.
Amen.
What are you going to do today going forward? What are you going to do today? Are you going to build your life on the cross, or are you going to build it on the world? Are you going to build your life on the cross, or are you going to build on I know best? Are you going to build your life on the cross, or are you going to build it on some imaginary thing that you created?
Come on.
We have a great Father, and our Father loves us so much that he gave us his one and only Son.
That's right.
We have a great Father that our Father built this bridge. This happened to be Jesus, so that we could be able to get across and be with him. Mm-hmm. We have a great Father. He gave us a tool, and it's called the cross. And all we have to do is pick it up, weaponize it, and use it against the sin that keeps attacking us.
Yes.
And if we use that cross to defeat and to fight back all the things that attack us, it is then you and I will be able to taste a resurrected life.
Amen.
To God be the glory, guys. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.